Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday. Thanks so much for being with us. A beautiful Monday, weather-wise. Sports happened over the weekend, and hopefully they'll continue. But first and foremost, we welcome in Willie P., who's filling in for Randy over the next handful of days as Randy continues to live the lavish lifestyle on the beach. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I really feel like we probably wanted to start four or five different ways, and that has changed basically in the last 30 minutes, unfortunately.
Yeah, we do our normal 9 a.m. call every day. Today, no different. We're all just kind of on speakerphone talking about what we want to get into, and the Frank DeBoer news broke right after we got off the air on Friday, so we'll get to that. And the Falcons players reporting to Flowery Branch tomorrow for training camps, and we'll get to that. And baseball over the weekend resuming, and the Braves playing great yesterday and coming from behind on Saturday and take a 2 out of 3 to open up the season. And we'll get to that. But unfortunately, we have to start with other baseball news, and not the news anybody wanted. I mean, it can be a very frustrating place, social media. And the news this morning is that even more Marlins players have tested positive for COVID. They've got 8 players now, 2 coaches as well. They're up to 14 in their entire organization, and their game tonight has been canceled. Everybody knows that the Marlins and the Braves had some exhibition games midway last week here in Atlanta, and the two starting catchers for the Braves, or the starting catcher and the backup catcher, the opening day catchers, didn't play this weekend because they weren't feeling well, because of COVID symptoms. Now, they have not tested positive, but they've had the symptoms and did not play all weekend. And as excited as we all were for baseball to be back this weekend, this was the worst-case scenario. I do find it annoying, the victory lap that some in sports media seem to take when things like this happen. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, is somehow beneficial to anyone? I don't know that it is. But maybe that's just Twitter. Twitter is snarky, and sometimes it's annoying. But yeah, not great news. Not great news today. Don't know exactly what it's going to mean across the league. The Phillies played the Marlins in Philadelphia over the weekend. Don't know if the Phillies are going to play tonight against the Yankees. We'll keep you updated on that. Don't know if baseball is going to call a momentary pause on all of the games. We'll keep you updated on everything that's happening today. But the big story this morning is that the Miami Marlins have a COVID outbreak on their roster, and they are not playing baseball tonight because of it.
Yeah, Andy, a couple of things jump out to me right away. I'll start with the local angle on Atlanta, how well they were able to handle this weekend from a catching standpoint.
Yeah.
The fact that you had both Flowers and Darnold go down and you're able to really kind of maintain with Alex Jackson. And how about William Contreras this weekend? I mean, mm-hmm. He kind of shot out like a cannon, especially with that hit late in the game on Saturday, and another good showing on Sunday in his first major league start. And even Wilson Contreras had said that, you know, he even thinks that his little brother, William, might actually have the greater tools and have a greater career than the current catcher that basically is more of a veteran than he is. But the thing that gets me, and like I said to you guys on the call this morning, I wanted to ask the question at some point this week, will we look back on this period of time in sports and say that those sports leagues that decided to operate under the fashion that they have, did they act responsibly? Have they been acting responsibly? And I think you could say that the bubble sports, albeit despite some of the roadblocks that they had early on, like the MLS with the two teams that had to be contracted from the MLS's back tournament, the NBA had some struggles with its intake testing, but the bubble has seemed to kind of calm itself over the course of the last couple of weeks. The bubble sports have worked, and the individual sports have worked. Golf and NASCAR both have figured out ways to pare down the people outside on the periphery and have been able to move forward with their sports. Granted, social distancing is a lot easier with those two sports than, say, with the team sports when mm-hmm. it comes to being able to keep people safe. This is a little jarring, and I do think that it draws the question, you know, was a bubble possibly, or two bubbles, the best possible return for baseball? I know they wanted to be in home markets. I know everybody was excited with the flattening that we saw in early June, and it caused a lot of people to think that we could get baseball back in home markets. And I wasn't necessarily somebody who liked the bubble idea originally, but I think we're starting to see how very, very difficult it is to contain the chances of an outbreak happening, not just with one team, but obviously the ripple effects that could happen in Philadelphia, Miami, and even here, because the Marlins were here just a couple of days ago.
Right, and that's the scary part of it, is once something like this starts, you don't really know where it's going to go unless you contain everybody, unless you shut it down, I guess. But then, are you going to shut down the league for 2 weeks? I have a hard time believing that baseball is going to do that. And we spent a lot of time talking about this in the lead up to it, that the worst thing that could happen is you do all this work to get back, and then it gets derailed because somebody isn't responsible or whatever. Like, there's so many different ways seemingly to contract this virus that it's hard to call anyone irresponsible, because we don't know what anyone or what the individuals on the Marlins were doing or how it started. But to have to stop again would be a really, really bad sign. And look, hopefully that doesn't happen. As far as the whether or not it was responsible to play, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I definitely agree the bubble is the best solution. I think it always was the best solution. I understand people didn't want to do it. And it looked like it wasn't necessary, maybe, back in, I don't know, when were things good? Because things were really bad, and then they were
things
okay,
were good.
And now they're bad again. So it was like
right around Father's Day weekend.
Yeah,
think
like
was
this
like
weird period
day.
Of time where it like seemed like things were okay again. And that's when a lot of the leagues were like, nah, we don't need to go to a bubble. We even looked at MLS and were like, maybe they don't need to go to a bubble either. But it turned out they were so far down the road with that planning process, they stuck with it. And good thing, because of that, they've been able to keep their tournament going and just, you know, booted the couple teams out of it that were having outbreaks. The players agreed to it. I know that they tried to put in as many protocols as they possibly can. They're testing them every day. The problem is the tests take 2 days to come back, and that's the scary part. That 48-hour lag between, all right, we tested, and then you find it like Juan Soto on opening day. You know, it's very difficult when testing isn't faster, but they're testing these guys every single day. You'd have to believe they're doing their best to be responsible. I know at some point today we'll get into the Lou Williams story and have some fun with it, but also talk about the seriousness of it. Like, if any of this is going to happen, everybody has to be like on their absolute best behavior. Like, you can't do the stuff you're used to doing. You can't live your normal life. You gotta be as, you know, whatever, as regimented and as socially distanced as you possibly can. And again, I don't know how it got into the Marlins roster, but we know that it's there, and we know that it spread, and we know that they're not playing tonight. And it's a real bummer to have to kick off the show on a Monday morning after the Braves scored 14 runs yesterday and just freaking batting practice against the Mets up there at Citi Field, talking about question marks regarding the baseball season. So it sucks. It sucks that this is a story so early in the season.
Yeah, something you said earlier when we were talking also kind of struck me is that baseball, I think, was the biggest jump in terms of the number of personnel that would have had to have been in a close proximity. And the first thing that I think of now is that you think about the NFL and you think about college football, and you think about how drastically the number of personnel just jumps from a roster of 30 players and coaching staff to, in college football, you've got a roster sometimes upwards of 120, right, not including, of course, including the guys, of course, who are not on scholarship. And you think about the NFL, they wanted to pare their rosters down from the usual 90 to around 80. But even then, still, that's a large jump from what you were talking about earlier. And the problem, I guess, that we've come to see is that this thing can spread fast if it ends up being as part of your environment. And so that's the part of this that I think the NFL is squarely focusing on is how do the Marlins, how does Major League Baseball contain this? I saw the report from John Heyman where he said that they're going to fumigate the Phillies clubhouse rather about 50 or some odd different ways. The Yankees play there tonight, and there's obviously talk about possibly canceling that game as well because of the safety issues and protocols. But yeah, like you said, it's a real downer, and really, when you think about it, you know, baseball had a good weekend on the field, and
they
the
did.
Braves included, mm-hmm. and that's the part of it that I find somewhat sobering is the fact that, yeah, all this good stuff has happened. It seemed like getting baseball back was a good thing for the psyche of our sports minds, but yet we get hit with this gut punch on Monday morning.
Yeah, and I think right now, you're right, Will, what happens over the next, I don't know, 24, 48, 72 hours from a baseball perspective, not just the Marlins, but leadership in baseball, how they handle this, how they go forward, and that working, like whatever it is that they do has to work because the NFL will follow suit if and when they have issues like this because more numbers, more physical sport, everybody more close together, it's possible that this will happen and they're not in a bubble. College football has the most variables, like you said, more players, physical sport, bunch of 20-year-olds on campus, no bubble. Like the idea of that working still seems far-fetched, although I hope that it does. But if baseball with 30-team rosters who are professionals can't figure out the right thing to do immediately after this, how can any other league figure out the right thing to do after this? And the scary part of that, Will, is that that means Rob Manfred has to do something right.
Right.
And I'm just going to be honest with you about that, man. I don't have a lot of confidence in him.
No. Nope.
So, hey, Rob, man, prove us wrong. You're going to need the biggest challenge you faced. And that's saying something because it's been a pretty challenging last few months as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Yep. Biggest challenge you faced. You got to nail it. All right. So we can have the rest of a baseball season and the NFL season and the college football season. It's all on you, Rob. Go out there and get him.
Well, here's the thing, too, Andy. And Alex Anthopoulos said this right off the bat, and I was always kind of struck weirdly by it when he said the players would be allowed to live in their own homes, especially when they were at home, and that they wouldn't necessarily be subject to any type of restrictions, that they were going to kind of let people live their lives. I'm wondering, and again, this is not on Alex. This is more on the league for not implementing, I think, stricter protocols. We've had the NFL come out and basically say, hey, we're going to fine you if we find out you're doing anything that compromises protocols and compromises safety of the rest of your players. I'm wondering why Major League Baseball didn't come out in a more strict fashion than that.
I don't know. The NBA had a snitch line as well. Maybe baseball needs one. You know, I'm all for that.
Mm.
We'll come back and get to what's trending. A lot happened over the weekend.
Right?
The Braves played some good baseball. The new extra innings rule was fun, at least the first time it was.
Frank DeBoer
got fired on Friday. We'll talk about a lot of actual sports coming up next. We'll also keep an eye on what is going on with the Marlins and the rest of Major League Baseball. Monday morning here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Willie P in for Randy until Friday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
That one is hammered left field. Way out of here. Austin Riley, look out. Up the facade of that top deck. My goodness. And the Braves unloading on the Mets.
Annihilated.
Yeah, it was annihilated. The Braves annihilated the Mets last night by a score of 14-1, which was great because one thing that did not happen in the first two games of the series was the offense didn't exactly jump out to a huge start, but they did in the third game, and so that means over the course of 3 days, the Braves did a lot of different good stuff. That's how they take two out of three. A lot of fun to see what happened yesterday with the offense exploding. And, Will, I wonder, because you and I are right around the same age, and now that they've got the technology for home run tracking and the launch angle and the exit velocity and all that stuff, it's fun just to kind of know what it is. You can make as much of a big deal of it as you want, but that's not really the point that I'm making. They know seemingly exactly how far the ball goes.
Right.
Because of the tracker. Didn't it seem like when we were kids, guys used to hit home runs that were like 550 feet all the time? Not all the time, but like,
yeah, I think
they would hit huge bombs. Like, were they way wrong when we were kids, or is this technology somehow flawed?
I think the technology now, I think, is greater. I think they were just kind of guessing back when we were kids. I think that now when you have the... basically, the way they calculate it is they calculate when the ball lands and the amount of time that it takes. That's how they calculate the exit velocity. And then you can have things like the launch angle and how far. And I think a lot of that stuff's a lot more precise than when you and I were kids. But yeah, it does seem like that we had more gaudy numbers in terms of that thing. Like that one that Austin Riley hit, I'm sure back when we were kids, that would have been said that was 500 and 458.
In 1994, they would have said that ball went 550 feet. And yesterday, and now it almost feels like anticlimactic when they're like, oh man, that ball was annihilated. 450. Like, that's really far. Don't get me wrong. That's incredibly far to hit a baseball.
They said it was like tied for the fifth longest home run in Citi Field. Pete Alonso hit one, I think, that exact same distance last year.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it. I don't know. Pump the number, and maybe those guys were all on steroids when we were kids, so maybe they were actually hitting the ball further. I don't know. Anyway, the Braves were really good over the weekend. It was really fun to see them take the series, fun to have baseball back in general. Obviously, the big story this morning is that the Miami Marlins have a bunch of positive tests on their team. Their game tonight has been canceled, and baseball, this is the most recent bit of news. Baseball is called an emergency meeting today to decide what to do going forward. And we said it in the first segment. I'll say it again. You better get it right, Rob Manfred. You better get it right. Otherwise, this thing falls apart very, very quickly. And I guess the NFL still has a little bit of time because their season doesn't start until mid-September. But NFL players are supposed to report tomorrow. So not a great way to start a Monday morning in terms of COVID numbers. But back to what the Braves did over the weekend. It's pretty easy to be excited about what you saw from Soroka. Pretty easy to be excited about what you saw from Fried. The bullpen looked really good. Newcomb was a little rough yesterday. But all in all, aside from Ronald Acuna getting off to a slow start, I guess, and Chris Martin giving up a solo home run on Friday, it was a pretty solid starting weekend for the Braves.
Yeah, the one thing that always encouraged me about the Braves was their organizational depth. And it's not that they are a tremendously deep team, but they have a lot of major league-ready options. And we talked in the open about the catching situation with no Flowers and no Travis d'Arnaud. They were able to plug those holes very easily. And I also feel like you saw on the opposite side what a team that does not have organizational depth looks like. The Mets lost two of their top pitchers, one in Noah Syndergaard right as the pandemic started, and one in Marcus Stroman right when we got back to play. And they have Rick Porcello as their number three starter, and really nothing much certain after that other than Michael Wacha. The fact that the Braves have so many options that they could go to with their bullpen and with their starting rotation. We're going to see Fulton Evich today. We're going to see Kyle Wright tomorrow. I feel like they are the team in this division that is most set up to compete in this fashion, because if they have a guy go down or they have a guy that doesn't necessarily effective, they have the ability to replace somebody like for like in a way that I think makes them not lose that much.
Manager Brian Snitker was pleased after the opening series as well.
I like where we are. I mean, I like the club. It's good to get this first series, to win the series. That's kind of our goal, is to win series.
Yeah. Hell yeah, Snit. That is a good goal to have, and hopefully can continue doing that all season long. One other thing that is, I think, I don't know if it's underrated, but probably under-talked about just because of how much other interesting things there are to say about the Braves. You saw it over the weekend how great their defense is. Yes. And how valuable that is going to be in those really close games. Like what Ender Inciarte did on Friday was outrageous. Not only the ball against the wall, but he got a couple balls in the gap that I don't know that other center fielders would have got to. You saw a number of double plays turned over the weekend between Ozzie and Dansby that looked really smooth. And you also saw the Mets make some bad mistakes, whether it was actual errors or just misplaying fly balls in the outfield. Like, I'm not saying the Braves were going to demolish the Mets anyway yesterday, but there was some bad outfield, man. Like there was maybe three or four runs that didn't have to score yesterday because the Mets just didn't have any idea what they were doing out there. So it's really nice, especially now that we get into the backside of the starting rotation where the question marks live in Folty and Kyle Wright and the rest of these guys. It's really nice to know that they have that behind them, and it showed up in a big way over the weekend as well.
Yeah, and I think the thing about Inciarte, too, is also what he did with his bat. You know, he had a couple of hits in yesterday's game, and I feel like anything you get from him offensively is a bonus because I think he's going to kind of be that second leadoff type guy in the nine position on most days, especially when they get Darno and or Tyler Flowers back. You won't have either of those guys, I don't think, in the nine slot. That just makes this lineup that much longer, and I think you saw how difficult it's going to be to go through this lineup. And even a guy like Matt Adams, who I don't know if we had figured he would be a part, as big a part of this team to start out, but you look at what he did over the weekend, he's providing a lot of protection for Marcell Ozuna. They've got a nice little 4-5-6 there with Ozuna, Matt Adams, and Dansby Swanson. Dansby had an amazing day yesterday with five ribbies.
Yeah.
It's just, it's probably, I would venture to say it's the longest lineup in the National League that's not the Dodgers.
Yeah, I agree. I feel comfortable saying that as well. And we couldn't have gotten through the first weekend without Luke Jackson trying to give everyone an ulcer.
Please.
Also, I know Randy's on vacation. Real media member behavior by Randy, by the way, over the weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of like live tweeting some of that Braves game. I mean, look, do you? I know you're a baseball fan, but, you know, radio guys go on vacation. Media members don't. And Randy's sitting there tweeting that game, and also everyone tweeting at him. That's my favorite thing about, like, I want Luke Jackson to do well. I want him to come in and go 1-2-3 every single time. We know he's not going to. He's going to give us all a headache all season long. Mm-hmm. At least he got out of it this time. But everyone immediately tweeting and reacting at Randy is the best part. Like, it's,
oh, they all know.
It frustrates the hell out of him, which is hilarious. All right.
I don't know about
a lot
you,
of other
Andy.
Stuff, what's that
when
saying?
I go on vacation, I put my phone in the drawer and I don't look at it for a whole week.
I don't. I wish I could. I can't. I did better a couple weeks ago than I normally do, but I don't know. I have so many things that I want to say. Alexi Lawless joined Dukes and Bell on Friday after Frank DeBoer got fired or they mutually parted ways. Call it what you want to call it. Frank DeBoer is not the manager of Atlanta United anymore. Here's Alexi Lawless on why now.
Timing is interesting. I actually think it's the perfect time in that the team, as you mentioned, bombed out of the MLS back tournament down in Orlando. This is a situation where they're going to have now several weeks to kind of train before they actually play their next game. And let's be honest, I think the fan base right now was dying for something to happen. And in that sense, as I said, it's the perfect time. The other part of it is, you know, Atlanta, everything they have touched has turned to gold since they started. It's been wonderful, but it meant that the standard has been very, very high. And if you're going to be a super club, if you're going to be the club that everybody looks to, you have to be big, bold, and decisive. And that's exactly what this was today. And it signifies an important moment because the expectation is high when it comes to Atlanta. And these are the types of decisions that big clubs make. And it's actually, this is a good thing for the leadership of Atlanta because everything has been so good. They have, you know, they've never dealt with a situation like this, and that they are dealing it like this I think it was good. If they felt that it was headed in the right, wrong direction,
right, Alexi,
and it wasn't going to right, the ship wasn't going to right, then you make a decisive decision right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Alexi had a lot of thoughts, man.
He did. Alexi, he's not short on words, no doubt about it. You can check out that entire interview, by the way, on 929thegame.com, Dukes and Bell page. It was good, and it was very opinionated, and he's right, at least as far as I'm concerned. If Atlanta United is who they say they are, then what they did in Orlando was completely unacceptable. Like, because it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to lose with, like, no inspiration and in a boring fashion, which they did. Like, they hung their hat on being exciting, getting up and down the field, scoring goals, even if they weren't winning scoring goals. And Darren Eales told us that was going to be the brand from the beginning. Like, okay, Frank DeBoer won last year. Won games last year, won a couple tournaments last year. That's great. But when the winning goes away and the locker room is what it was and the stars feel the way they feel about the manager, well, then you quickly have to make a move. They did. I salute them for it. Now they've got an opportunity to get it right where, unfortunately, they didn't with Frank DeBoer.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the Felipe Cardenas article in The Athletic that kind of detailed some of the division that it took place in the locker room between Frank DeBoer and especially the South American players on the team. There was a clash there. I think a lot of people point to the fact that just on the surface, no goals means this team missed Joseph Martinez. But if you peel back the onion a little bit, it was a lot more than that. There were defensive breakdowns that led to two of the three goals they conceded in the MLS's back tournament. When the ball got to the midfield, you couldn't have it advance to the attacking third at all. And even when the ball did get to the attacking third, they lacked the ingenuity to be able to finish. There were breakdowns all over the place. It seemed like they played stagnant. They couldn't handle the pressure that the Red Bulls had. They basically put a blueprint out there for the rest of the league to try and neutralize anything Atlanta United would do. It was just so disorganized. And I think the most glaring thing was seeing Carlos Bocanegra in the technical area during the last game against Columbus. That, I think, maybe preceded the fact that the change was possibly afoot.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you saw it, it was like, huh, that's interesting.
It was benign.
I don't ever remember Carlos Bocanegra on the sideline, but you don't think much of it. And then you get the news on Friday, and it's like, oh, that's why he was down there. That's down there talking to Larenowitz about what was going wrong on the field. I see. Well, hindsight is 20/20, I suppose. We'll get deeper into that and what it means for Atlanta United going forward as the show goes on. Coming up next, big deal, small deal, no deal. We'll get to all the other news from the weekend. A lot happened this weekend. Brian Gebhardt joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app.
Lil Burn.
What's up, babes?
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Check out Mike Contest. He joins us every Monday at 9:20. He could talk Atlanta United. He could talk Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons. He's a man of all hats on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy, Willie P. in for Randy for most of the week. Randy back on Friday. But we were in a break, and more news broke. I think this is going to happen all day, unfortunately. It has now been announced that the Phillies and Yankees game tonight has been postponed. So that's a key word. Postponed is different than canceled.
Right.
Postponed would mean that they would play it at a future date. Whether that would be tomorrow in a doubleheader or later in the year, because it's all the same teams playing each other all season long, so they might be able to work a way to do that. The reason that this is happening is because the Marlins have an outbreak, a COVID outbreak on their roster. They've got 14 guys in their organization between players and coaches that have tested positive for COVID over the last couple of days. They played the Phillies over the weekend. And the Phillies play the Yankees tonight in Philadelphia. So, well, they don't actually. They were going to. The Marlins and Orioles game was supposed to happen tonight in Miami, also canceled. Also postponed. And there's an emergency meeting today in Major League Baseball between Rob Manfred and the rest of them to figure out what to do going forward. So it's 10:45, man. We're 45 minutes into Monday's show, and this is what's happening. So there you have it.
I'm wondering if it has something to do with just the proximity of Philadelphia to New York, that they feel like they'd be able to maybe have a common off day there that could maybe work out a doubleheader situation, or maybe if, say, the testing does take 2 days, since this is a situation where you do have the ability to play, you know, the split city series or whatever. You can play two doubleheaders on Wednesday and Thursday and make it up that way. Not sure.
I don't know. Hopefully there's a way to make it up. And hopefully there's a season at that point to make it up. And again, I'm not trying to be doomsday scenario guy. I'm just, you know, reading the tea leaves a little bit and gonna react to this as it goes on. What I do know is that baseball has a really important decision to make today, tomorrow, whatever, to do this thing correctly. I know the NFL is looking at it, and college football is looking at it, and any sport that is attempting to exist not in a bubble that is a team sport is looking at this and hopefully learning from it.
I do think it's important to make that distinction. And I think we did it at the beginning of the show, but I think it's important to reiterate it because, like you said, there are a lot of people who are trying to take kind of a victory lap and say, see, this shouldn't have happened. I think you and I are in concert in this one fact. I think there was a responsible way to make these sports happen. And we talked about the whole MLBPA not necessarily liking the bubble idea and how they really wanted to play inside their home markets. The fact that they kind of threw caution to the wind and decided to go back into their home markets, I think that's kind of where I think you and I are, where it's like we kind of knew it was going to be tough. And I'm not saying that we like it, but I'm saying that there could have been a more responsible way to play this season out, especially seeing what's happened out of Miami.
Yeah. Again, we'll keep an eye on it as the show goes on today. I know that there will be more news before 2 o'clock, so we'll get you updated as soon as anything happens. Before we get there, though, as we always do at 10:45, let's get the big deal, small deal, no deal, brought to you by Boomer Naturals.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal.
Brought to you by Boomer
Brian
Naturals.
Brian Gephardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Willie, you've got a Boomer Naturals mask, don't you?
I have two of them, and I used them over the weekend while socially distancing and carousing around Metro Atlanta. They are very comfortable and very breathable. I love them.
I've got one myself, as does Brian Gephardt, so we're all taken care of thanks to Boomer Naturals. Hey, Brian. Uh-oh. Brian's got his mask on right now, so that's why we can't hear him probably.
Big deal, small deal, no deal, guys. After just one weekend of games, zero MLB teams are undefeated, and every single team has at least one win. Let me break this down a little bit further. The Dodgers and Giants split a four-game set, so they're both 2-2, but every other team is either 1-2 or 2-1. This is the first time that's happened since 1954 that no team has started 3-0. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
I think it's a big deal because I think it just expresses the gravity in each game. Like we said, the math earlier, you know, game equals 2.72 games in a normal Major League Baseball season, and you're seeing that managers are managing them, not quite like playoff games, but we know the leashes are very, very short. We talked about the Braves with Sean Newcomb, the fact that, you know, he only goes 3 1/3 innings last night. I think he might have been given the opportunity to, if he was more stretched out, or if the possibility were existing that we were in a regular season, to maybe figure some stuff out over the course of five innings. But because of the fact that we are in a situation where each game carries so much gravity, I think it does. It is telling, and it's evident that you are going to see probably a lot more parity and maybe a lot more closer winning percentages to the 500 mark than we normally would see.
First of all, it's a big deal that Willie P took the 2.72 to the hundredths place of the decimal. Usually we stop at the 10th here, but that's the thorough coverage that you're going to get while Willie P fills in for Randy Mack.
That's how I roll, baby.
2.72, not just 2.7, all right? We don't round down. I also think it's a big deal because of what we've talked about with this baseball season. Like, 60 games is few enough for there to be a fluke. Like, there is going to be, especially with 16 playoff teams, there's going to be one or two real mediocre teams that get into the playoffs and maybe even win a playoff series, because we know how weird it is in playoff series. You get, you know, you get a hot pitcher or two and you can make a run. I think that's the season that we're looking at. Randomness is going to rule the roost in baseball this year, assuming that we get to play more games, because two games have already been canceled today. Hopefully the rest of them get to be played.
Wendy will be getting to the Lou Williams story in just about an hour from now. I know that's a lot of fun for folks around here. But big deal, small deal, no deal. Zion returning to the NBA bubble on Friday after leaving Orlando to deal with a family situation. He was reportedly tested daily and never tested positive. So therefore, he will only need to quarantine for 4 days
before becoming eligible to return to the floor, which is technically tomorrow. And the Pelicans are scheduled to play in the first game of the NBA restart this Thursday against the Jazz.
It's a big deal. I mean, it seems a little bit cherry-picked by the NBA, the way that they're handling different
situations. The word is rigged. The word is rigged, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, they want Zion on the court because they want Zion on TV. We talked about it when they made the arrangements for the entire restart. I mean, the reason that there's eight regular season games before they get into the playoff tournament is so we could see more Zion. And hopefully the Pelicans win enough of those games so they can go to the playoffs and you can see more Zion. Like, it's no secret that ESPN is fond of talking about Zion Williamson and showing his highlights. Sometimes I think we overblow these stories and maybe pile on ESPN, but not this one. I watched a Pelicans game earlier this year where, I mean, it was just, it was like disgusting. It like made me uncomfortable the way they were talking about him and watching like his movements. It's like, just chill, man. He's good. He's a rookie, whatever, but like, you got to stop. Like, you're cramming it down our throats in a way that's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very transparent that the way that the NBA set this up and the way that I think also ESPN has set this up, they really, 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 really want the Pelicans to make the playoffs. And
yeah,
they're going to give them every opportunity to do so, and I think this is the latest example of that.
The other team only gets to play with four players as long as Zion's on the court. You're not allowed to shoot from the three-point. Three-pointers are only worth two if you're playing against the Pelicans.
Fouls against Zion are worth two fouls.
Yeah, exactly. It's all right. We get it. You want Zion in the playoffs. I understand.
Right?
All right. Thanks, Brian.
I'll talk to you guys in a few hours.
Yeah, we'll talk to Brian at 12:40. We'll talk to Wendy at 11:40 for the Wendy Zone, and she will get to the Lou Williams story. There you go, Will. Nicely done. Hour Big number fan. Two straight ahead, the NFL no huddle. A lot happened over the weekend. Big trade, as well as training camp getting set to start tomorrow. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.